Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. We're back. Tobias and Sarah.
Anita Romero and Jesse Romero.
And we're so happy to be back. You know, the most important thing, Anita, we talk about this continually as husband and wife, is how to get people to heaven. And I think that's the goal of the Catholic faith. I mean, the salvation of souls. So on Fridays, really, we want to hit this very hard.
Absolutely. That's our only goal. And that should be everyone's goal, not only ours, but yours, too. And that's how we reach holiness, is just living in a state of grace.
There's also two reasons why we should live in a state of grace. Two reasons, okay? We're talking about it before the show. Number one, that's how you get to heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. This may not be very popular. A non-Catholic, if they're in heaven or they want to get to heaven, guess what? They have to live in a state of grace, okay? And die in sanctifying grace. How that happens, don't ask me. That's between God and them. But that's what's required to get to heaven, sanctifying grace. Second reason this is so important is because the devil's active in our world right now.
Absolutely. Just look in the past 2 months.
Yeah, just look at the elections, the stolen elections. Okay?
Absolutely.
And so there's a lot of diabolical activity right now, especially even coming from politics. And so living in a state of grace protects us.
Right, protects us. And you know, our ultimate goal is, again, to live in holiness and for the protection from the diabolical. And, you know, our union with God every day. That's what we want to reach, that union with God, living in the state of grace.
Let me ask you a question. Yes. This is the month of January. Can you share what the month of January is for our audience?
Yes. We have a feast. It's a feast of January. It's
the
holy name of Jesus. How appropriate is that to focus on Jesus? And January is dedicated to this, to the holy name of Jesus.
The entire month.
The entire month. And the English letters, I know all of you have seen this IHS. That is equivalent to the Greek letters that represents Christ's name. It is an old tradition to inscribe IHS over the doorways of Christian homes. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you find that that's Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 11. So there you go. There's our feast, January. We honor the holy name of Jesus.
Now, here's something important on a practical level. When you start feeling kind of despondent, kind of you fall into despair, depressed, start saying the name of Jesus, okay? Just walk throughout the house and, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, I love you. When you start falling into the blues, start lifting up his name, yeah. And you'll see it'll remove the depression.
Yeah, I don't know if you all notice this. It's been kind of disappointing with every week. There's something, some sort of news in politics that it's been disappointing. But you know what? That's the world.
Our faith's not in politics.
Absolutely. Our faith is in Jesus Christ and our hope. And, you know, every day I've been going to, we go to Mass, and I said, this is where my hope is at. This
That's
is
right.
my hope. Coming
God
to Mass,
who comes down to
the
earth.
Eucharist. Absolutely.
Right there, God made present in
on
the altar.
On the altar. That's the miracle.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Absolutely, the
not
miracle.
Not politics. Politics, again, in fact, something very funny, I text somebody yesterday. I said, in heaven, there are no politics because it's all governed by Jesus. And in heaven, there are no politicians. There's only one person who runs heaven. That's Jesus and Mary. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
And so this is a true statement.
In that's scary. No yeah. politicians.
In
Ooh.
Heaven, there are no politicians.
<them.
laughs> In heaven, there are no politics. Think about that.
Yeah.
And that's
yes.
a fact.
That has dual meaning. No politicians in heaven.
Let's start off with the St. Michael prayer, Anita.
Absolutely. Let's
in the name
do
of the
that.
Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray it in Latin.
Yeah.
Santi Michele Arcangele, defendinos in praelio, contra dequitium et insidious diaboli esso presidium, impedit ili deus supplices de precamortuque. Princeps Militiae Celestis Satanam Aliosque Spiritus Malignus Quiad Perditionem Animarum Peragantur in Mundo Divina Virtute in Infernum De Trude. Amen. English, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard and protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who wander through the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
How come we, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How come we know it better in Latin than in English?
I know. Well, you know what? Because there's different versions.
Yeah, you're right.
There's safeguard, there's protection, there's defense on the first line of the St. Michael's prayer. So that's why we, you know, you and I, it depends where we're at.
I know.
Some parishes will say safeguard. Some parishes will say
protection. It all means the same thing.
Absolutely.
Anita, can you share just a good news story before we jump into State of Grace? Something happened in Argentina, and I just want to give people the good news.
Right, yes. Okay, there's an Argentine boy. He was saved by a stray bullet because wearing the crucifix, because of the crucifix. So in San Miguel del Tucumán, Argentina, January 4th this year, that's on Monday, right?
Yeah.
Several hours before beginning of 2021.
So it happened on New Year's.
Yeah,
New Year's Eve.
Okay, there you go. But this is when the article was written.
Yes, correct.
A 9-year-old Argentine boy was saved from a stray bullet by a small metal crucifix on his chest. An event that local media have called, quote, a New Year's miracle. According to a report from the police office of San Miguel de Tucumán, capital of the northwestern province of Tucumán, the event took place around 10 p.m. on December 31st, New Year's Eve, 2020. A 9-year-old boy named Tiziano from the neighborhood of Las Talitas checked in with his father into the ER of the Baby Jesus Hospital in the southern part of the capital city with a superficial wound in the thorax.
Where's the thorax?
The thorax here.
Whoa.
Produced by a firearm. Oh, thorax, I'm sure it's the chest.
Okay.
After being checked thoroughly by several doctors on staff for 48 minutes, the boy was released, the report says. Tiziano's family contacted Jose Romero Silva, a journalist from Telefe, January 1st to explain how the boy's life was saved. The bullet hit the middle of the small metal crucifix that the boy received as a gift from his father. Tiziano's aunt sent Silva a picture of how the bullet damaged the crucifix, which prevented the bullet from causing any real damage except for a minor superficial wound. Silva shared the picture in his Twitter account, writing, "New Year's miracle yesterday, minutes before 00 hours, a stray bullet hit the chest of a boy from Las Talitas, but it hit in a crucifix the minor was wearing." Wow. That absolutely, he was protected by the Lord. It wasn't his time. The stray bullet was...
And protected by a sacramental.
A sacramental.
Notice that.
How important sacramentals are.
And also,
but you know what? I want to mention something about that.
Okay.
We're always getting stray bullets. Think about this.
It's called temptation.
Temptation.
Ordinary
so
temptation.
Bullets are coming at us left and right. So that's why it's important for all of you to wear sacramentals. The scapular, the crucifix,
miraculous medal.
As long as it's blessed properly, you got it. Then
rosary around your neck. Yeah, Saint Louis de Montfort said to wear rosary around your neck.
Right, and we don't wear them superstitiously because
not
a
like
lot
a
of people.
We wear them in faith.
Absolutely.
Wow, what a good story. Thanks for sharing that, Anita. But another thing very interesting I like about that story that you shared, remember we're always talking about the role of fathers of St. Joseph.
Yes.
I think you said in there that the father gave him the medal.
Yes,
I read where you said that.
Yeah, it's...
The father gave him the medal, a 9-year-old boy. Checked in with his father into the ER. The father took charge of all this. Here it is. It says, the small metal crucifix that the boy received as a gift from his
father.
That's
there's
Saint
the authority.
The authority structure. And he was protected by the father's patriarchal authority.
And you think that crucifix wasn't blessed? It didn't say here, but I'm sure it was.
Wow.
That is just
What an edifying
That's
story.
That's encouraging for us, especially right now. And just remember, Jesus is Lord, and he's in control. And yeah, yeah, whatever happens, right. It's his will. And we are here to just do whatever he wants. Just like Mary said, do what he tells you.
And what's he telling us? He's telling us two things at the very least. He's telling all of us, be holy as my Father is holy. So all of us, Jesus has called us to be holy. It doesn't matter who's in the White House or who's running the Senate or Congress. We're called to be holy despite who's in office and who's in power.
Right. And
Second thing that he's telling us, Matthew 20:19, go out and evangelize. Be holy and go out and evangelize. Yeah. Save souls. Yep. Not for politics. We save them for Jesus. Okay?
Yep.
Again, I'm going to repeat what I said in the beginning of the show. In heaven, there's going to be no politicians and no politics. It's going to be governed by the love and power of Jesus and Mary.
Amen.
Total justice and total love.
Right. Amen. And I'd like to mention also, ask all of you out there, you faithful listeners, for prayers. My mother passed away on Wednesday. She passed away in her sleep. She lived a full life, 89 years. And I just blessed to have a mother. Died with the sacraments. That's the most important thing. And we started our Rosary Novena. Her name is Maria Chacon.
We pray. Eternal rest grant to Maria Chacon, O Lord.
And may
your perpetual light shine upon her. May the soul of Maria Chacon, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And here comes our mother. We love you, Mama.
Pray for Maria Chacon. You're right. They look forward to this.
Yeah. Look forward to this. Is more.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, two-man car, Jess and Anita Romero. We're going to, Anita, why is it important to live in a state of grace? Can you give me two reasons why?
Okay. Why is it important? Well, here it goes. To get to heaven.
Check.
And to protect yourself from the diabolical.
Bingo.
Those are the two most important things. If you remember those two important things, you're on your way.
So
to holiness.
Anita, one of the most respected exorcists in our lifetime, he passed away a few years ago, I think 2016. He talked about living in a state of grace constantly. In one of his books, can you share what he actually said about the specificity of living in a state of grace?
Yes, it's Father Gabriel Morth. He said in one of his books, quote, "Just as the demon fights against us daily, so we must battle against him. Through the strength of the Spirit that was given to us, we are certain of the victory. To live in a state of grace means always to say yes to Christ and no to Satan. According to our baptismal promises, if we do not, we fall into sin. Safeguarding and increasing the state of grace is a victory against ordinary activity of the demon." That's temptation. "And at the same time, it is best prevention against his extraordinary activity. Again, we must remember that the best means of prevention is to abide in the grace of God, pray, receive the sacraments, and ask for the intercession of the Virgin Mary, the angels, and the saints."
Here's an important point that Father Amorth just made there, that you just read, where he says that also safeguarding and increasing the state of grace is a victory against the devil. Safeguarding. Yep. In other words, that's why the church says, take custody of your eyes.
Yep.
Take custody of your heart, because demons enter through the senses, St. John Vianney says. And also, you could increase the state of grace. We went to Mass this morning, so we got an increase of grace.
Right. Pray the rosary.
So that way you're increasing your state of grace by doing these Catholic acts of piety. Anita, there's an exorcist probably about 150 years ago. He says the same thing that the exorcists are saying right now about the importance of holiness of life to combat the diabolical. Who is this exorcist and what is he saying?
Yeah, it's his name is Monsignor Leon Cristiani, a French exorcist. And it comes from the book Evidence of Satan in the Modern World in page 72. And he says that one of the most urgent tasks of the exorcist is not only to cure the possessed person, but also to lead him towards sanctity.
Holiness.
Yeah, holiness. There is nothing which can so surely diminish the power and dominion, oh, there's that word.
Oh, no.
Of Satan as a conversion of the victim. So that's, what is he saying there? The way you become is through catechesis.
Yeah. Many of the exorcists right now in the country say the number one reason that people get diabolically afflicted at some level, obsession, oppression, possession,
right,
is because they don't know their faith.
Yeah, they're
exorcists
uncut, guys.
Say that over and over. Mm-hmm. And Monsignor Leon Cristiani, 150 years ago, is saying the same thing. And so that's why it's important. A good exorcist team has the catechesis component to it.
Right, right. And to live in a monastic life, to pray, have, you know, scheduled prayer time, daily prayer set aside. You don't have to do it all at once.
And I'll tell you why that's very important, because what demons fear is order. And if you have an ordered prayer life throughout the day, they fear that, because
yes,
you're
do.
Intellectually ordering your mind, you're intellectually ordering your heart. If you have order in prayer throughout the day, demons fear you. Demons like disorder.
Right.
Somebody who has no prayer life.
Right.
And so Monsignor Cristiani, he says that one of the tasks of the exorcist is to lead them towards sanctity or holiness or a state of grace. Because it's pointless to be ministering or praying over or doing actual solemn sessions over a person that objectively lives in mortal sin and doesn't want to repent.
Right.
Because the
they
demon
just
is
want
gonna
a quick fix.
Yeah, the demon is gonna hold on to the mortal sin, the emotional woundedness. The demon has permission to be there because they're in mortal sin. They're not gonna leave.
Right.
And so you're wasting
precious time.
Yeah, precious time.
Yeah, and you know, the energumen, that's the possessed person. Those that are under the care of a team, they're asked to start basic prayers of the church to start getting healed before they even have before an exorcist takes place.
Right.
Because how serious are you? How serious are you about getting healed? Do you want to get healed? Because remember, it's the act of the will. There we go. St. Thomas Aquinas.
Right.
It's the act of the will. And if you don't have, if you're, and most cases, a lot of these energumens, they do have weak will, but they can overcome that.
That's right.
They can overcome that. They, you know, I can do all things through Christ
who
strengthens me.
Yeah. So don't be conceding to the devil and say,
right,
I can't. No. Jesus says I can. So we got to go with what Jesus says. That's his word.
Right.
Anita, there's an exorcist in Chicago. He also essentially says the same thing that this French exorcist says. What's his name and what does he say in relation to this topic?
His name is Father Jeffrey Grob.
He's a bishop now, by the way.
Oh,
he's an auxiliary bishop.
That's right.
Yeah, he was just elevated.
Yes. And pray for him.
Amen.
The exorcist from Chicago, Illinois, also bishop. He says the victim must have a conversion of heart to be healed.
There it is.
That's simple.
You can, in other words, you can't live in mortal sin and expect the demon to leave you.
Right.
Whether it's oppression, obsession, or possession.
Right.
You can't live in mortal sin. The heart must be converted to God in order to be healed. This is basic Catholicism.
Yeah, the impediment of mortal sin is just going to, you're going to, it's like walking into a wall. Bam. I want to get to the other side.
Mortal sin's an impediment.
Yeah, it's an impediment, right? And you're going to keep on hitting that wall. Until you're ready to overcome and agree to the catechesis and conversion of heart.
That's right.
As Father Bishop Jeffrey Grob says.
So, well, let's go to a doctor of the church.
She also
weighs in on
one of our favorite
living in a state of grace.
Yes, St. Teresa of Avila.
What does she say?
Yeah, she said, I know how little power evil spirits have, provided I am not out of the grace of God. So there you go. And that's
provided I'm not out of the grace of God. So if you're not out of the grace of God, evil spirits have little power. If you're in the grace of God, just turn that around. Evil spirit, they basically have no power over you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If you're not out of the grace of God, if you're living in mortal sin, evil spirits have basically a whole lot of power over you. That's what she's saying.
Power. Lots of power. Yeah. And we have to be diligent about our soul.
Yeah.
Every day we wake up.
Let me quote the New Catechism on what sanctifying grace is, so people understand exactly what we're talking about here. It's in paragraph 2023. It says this: sanctifying grace is the gratuitous gift, means free gift from God, is the gratuitous gift of his life, the Trinity's life, that God makes to us. It is infused by the Holy Spirit into the soul to heal the soul of sin and make it holy. That's paragraph 2023, tells us what it means to live in a state of grace. Now, Anita, here's a definition from another exorcist from Florida. I forget his name, but I like his catechetical definition of what it means to live in a state of grace. He's an exorcist in Florida.
This exorcist in Florida says, a state of grace is a spiritual condition of an individual who has sanctifying grace in his soul. That is, he is free from mortal sin and seriously disordered inclinations to sin. Any state can be lost, i.e. a state of mind, a state of euphoria, a state of favor with another person. And the state of grace can be lost simply by the commission of one mortal sin. Okay, just takes one, everybody.
Unconfessed sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Venial sin denigrates and weakens the state of grace, but does not destroy it in the soul. It cannot be said enough that the state of grace and the attempt to live an authentic life of faith are the greatest protections from evil for everyone, even those not of our faith.
Yeah. Again, even if you're not Catholic, don't ask me how, but you have to live and die in a state of grace.
And that's,
that's scary, Anita.
That's really scary, and I just feel so blessed to be in the Catholic Church.
Amen.
And I thank my mother for, you know, because my father was not Catholic, but he died with the sacraments eventually. Mm-hmm. So my mother always stood her ground and raising us Catholic. So I just thank you, Mama, for bringing me up Catholic. But if I would have met Jesse, I would have been Catholic.
But here's also something important to what you said. As Catholics, remember, I know sometimes we focus in on, look what's happening over here in the church and this bishop. You know what? Our faith is based on Jesus and what he did for us. So let's remember that. And number two, the Catholic Church's teachings and her sacraments are perfect.
Yes.
P-E-R-F-E-C-T. Now, the people in the church, myself, Anita, we're all imperfect. We're all sinners, starting from the Pope all the way to the altar boy. We're all sinners in need of Jesus. So keep your eyes and your faith on Jesus, Our Lady, and the holy teachings of the church and the sacraments that save us. And let's pray for each other, because we're all a bunch of sinners in Noah's Ark acting like a bunch of animals sometimes.
Yes, we are. We need a lot of work. That's why we have to just bend our knees and just prostrate ourselves, just like the leper did today in the gospel readings. The leper went and prostrated himself in front of Jesus. He wanted healing, but it was not only healing for the
body,
the flesh. Yeah. It was healing for his diseased soul. So we got to just overcome our flesh. Yeah, we can ask for healing, but just remember, our soul so much more is a priority over our body.
Yeah, I can tell you, even my wife, she said, you know, she's been praying for her mom for a long time, but she would tell me, honey, I'm praying not for her body. She's in her 80s, okay? Yeah. I'm praying for the healing of her soul.
Yeah, her healing, her reconciliation.
See, my mom's a realist. My wife's a realist.
Yep.
What, you think that God's going to regenerate an 89-year-old body? Not in this life, at the end of time, but you're praying for the right thing, the healing of the soul.
The healing for the soul. That's what we all got to do.
Anita, here's another story that touches me. It's from St. Joan of Arc. She led the army of the French against the tyrannical English Protestants. And or this, I hear the music.
Here comes our mother Mary.
We love her so much.
Yep, La Morenita. Thank you for joining us.
Yes. Ora pro nobis, ruega por nosotros. Stick around. You don't want to miss what's up. How to get to heaven. Ruega por nosotros. Remember, the month of January is dedicated the entire month to the holy name of Jesus. Throughout the month of January, every day, just throw little prayers up in the air. They're called ejaculations. Say, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, I love with you.
Jesus, be with me.
Jesus, I give you my heart. Talk to Jesus throughout the day, the entire month of January. Let's start the New Year's off really reconnecting with our Lord Jesus Christ, especially vocally, spontaneous prayers throughout the day. You're washing dishes, you're doing your bed. Jesus, in fact, let me tell you a powerful story about Jesus right here. Okay, this is in the 1431, so England is still Catholic. Now, the French and the English, again, wicked people, sinners, concupiscence, they're going to war with each other. Joan of Arc is a young maiden, and she was a soldier for the French army. They all thought she was a man. They didn't know she was a woman because, you know, she had all her battle gear on. She led the French in a war against the English. The English were attacking the French. Now, both of them are Catholic countries at this point. So the English capture her. And now, remember, because, again, in Europe, we didn't have, like, the Masons started in this country, the separation of church and state. So the church and state was together. So to offend the state was also to offend the church. So they brought her before English Catholic bishops, and they were her judges.
Yeah.
Because they were the bishops were the intellectual class. So they decreed if a person was guilty of something, the state took care of the punishment. So St. Joan of Arc, she was questioned by the English Catholic bishops. This is in 1431, still a Catholic country. And they asked her this, kind of, they tied her to a post, and they're going to burn her alive, and they kind of do it mockingly. So again, I'm just saying, there are Judases out there within the church.
Yep.
And these English bishops were Judases. They asked St. Joan of Arc, asked if she knew that she was in God's grace, she replied to her English Catholic bishops. She says, if I am not, may it please God to put me in it. If I am in a state of grace, may it please God to keep me there. So the executioner, who had been called to torture her in the dungeon in Rouen, he said once that she was in the fire, Saint Joan of Arc cried out more than six times, Jesus! And especially in her last breath, she cried with a strong voice that she's being burned alive by the authority of the English bishops. In 14, it's not the Protestants, okay? These are Catholic bishops, all right? Everybody present could hear her crying out Jesus, and almost everybody was there that was present wept with pity.
Wow. Wow, that's just such a moving story. And just we see the faith she had. She was feeling every pain that you could possibly. I mean, even us who just get our finger burned when we're cooking, I mean, it's painful. Just imagine. But you know what? She stood strong and steadfast, and she called on the name. She knew who her strength was. And woe to those bishops.
Oh, yeah.
Woe to those bishops.
Woo! Okay, Anita, we're going to move now into giving people every single Friday real strong spiritual direction, spiritual bullets, what I would call.
Right.
Oh, spiritual direction, because these 12 points that we're going to develop throughout these every Friday from Scripture and the wisdom of the church is going to teach you how to get to heaven and how to resist the devil. And so this type of spiritual training is not for the faint-hearted. This is UFC Catholicism, okay? And but we're definitely going to teach and we're going to help
tough
you.
Tough love. It's yeah. called tough love. We love you all.
Yeah.
And we know you love us.
We got them. Yeah.
And that's where iron sharpens iron.
Yes. And so we're going to teach you principles that we've learned the last 30 years that we try to live ourselves on how to be a faithful disciple of yes. Jesus Christ. The first one, Anita, is our mind has to, as Father Ripperger says, Kyle Clementon, they say, we have to take custody of our intellect. So we have to have a basic philosophy of life. What yeah. should the basic philosophy of the Catholic be?
Right. The basic philosophy for all Catholics is God put us in the world to know, to love, and to serve, and to come to paradise, with him to paradise. So that's in the Baltimore Catechism. I think it's question 6.
And in the New Catechism.
In the New Catechism, it's there. So
1721.
That's our philosophy. That's our goal. And all those, you gotta. If you could memorize anything, memorize that.
No love, serve God. God. No love, serve
every
God.
Day,
no
what
love, serve
what's
God.
What's my philosophy today? No love and serve God.
Get to okay. heaven. Get to heaven.
Right.
Get to heaven.
So the catechism, that's in the Catechism 1721. It says, this is what the Holy Bible means when it says, take every thought captive to obey Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Or, but we have the mind of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Or, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, and what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12:2. This means we were made to have a relationship with God.
So the important thing in principle one is, again, the whole mind.
The mind.
Must not be given over.
Metanoia, the changing yeah, of the mind. Mind.
It can't be given over to the world. That's called worldliness.
Right.
And James says a worldly person has diabolical wisdom. That's right. What James chapter 1 or 3 says.
We if have your will have, is given to the world,
you're giving over to the devil.
Then, yeah, your will, you're given to the world, and then your passions, your body
are
follows.
Triggered. Yep.
They're triggered, and you don't have
custody of your intellect, custody of your passions.
Discipline.
Yeah, discipline. As Catholics, we need order, ritual, and fraternity,
mm-hmm.
communal prayer, the
constancy,
Mass.
Constancy. You've heard that word. We've said it before, constancy
so,
in your faith walk.
So in the philosophy of knowing, loving, and serving God, this actually means that we have to have a relationship with God. This
right.
is Catholic teaching.
Right.
This is not Billy Graham teaching. We've been teaching this way before the Protestants were even born. Catholicism is based on a relationship with God. Even the New Catechism
yeah.
says that, Anita,
right.
which quotes the fathers of the church. I mean, give you some examples of the New Catechism.
Yeah, well, you know what? Also, I just want to mention something. No love and serve. Where does service come? That comes through humility. We have to be humble. We have to acknowledge our practice humility. A lot of us have pride, and you know, that's one of the seven deadly sins, and that's where, you know, some of us fall short. I know I have pride. I do, and I have to really work on that, and I know all of you out there, we all have some sense of pride, but we have to remember humility. We need to serve God, and that's what that is. Serve is an act of humility.
I can tell you someone. I can tell you one thing, that in heaven, nobody's going to have pride, because that's where purgatory comes in. Because most of us, 99.9% of us, are going to die
yeah.
with defects in our soul.
Right, absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And those defects have
yeah.
to be removed and
saints.
Purified. Yeah. But, Anita, Catholicism is based on a relationship with
yep.
God. I mean,
yep.
that's the church teaches to the times of the fathers, and even now. What does the
right.
church say about the now?
Yeah, the church says in the Catechism, chapter 299, it says, man himself created in the image of God and called to a personal relationship with God. Again, Catechism of the Catholic Church, 2558, the paragraph, requires that the faithful believe in it, and that they celebrate it, and that they live from it in the vital and personal relationship with the living and true God. This relationship is prayer.
Mm.
So you got two things there. You got personal relationship with God, and personal relationship is prayer. Yeah, because that's how you have relationships, by dialogue. Yes. You dialogue with person. That's how you have a relationship. Jesse and I have a, you know, we have a relationship as husband and wife because
it starts with communication, dialogue.
And that's how you evangelize those
by,
outside.
By the way, let me mention something. I know some people will like, I don't like the word dialogue. You know what? Get off it. It's mentioned 20 times in the New Testament in Greek. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. So I know just because liberals use it and you're like, don't use it. It's a New Testament word. It's in the Greek 20 times. So, okay, dialogue, communication means the same thing.
Yep.
And by the way, there's a father
there's
of the
synonyms.
Church. Yeah, father of the church, St. Clement of Alexandria. It's in my book, Lord. He says conversation is prayer is conversation with God. Prayer is conversation with God.
And that's how you develop a relationship.
Yeah. So that's point number one, is we have to have a relationship with God. And a lot of this stems through a life of prayer.
Right.
So we could check that off.
Right. You know, and those and people that you meet, you have a relationship with them. You can evangelize them. Okay.
Oh, let me mention something else important about that. This is something that was taught to us by Father Ripperger in one of the lectures that we've been with him. He said a lot of people here, because the demons are always trying to project thoughts and images into your mind.
Yep.
And a lot of human beings, they're like, oh, Jess Anita, this voice is telling me this, and it's telling me to do that, and it's telling me that I'm stupid. It's telling me to hit my husband with a frying pan. And so
stop listening to the voices.
There you go. That's what an exorcist will say. Stop listening to those voices. Turn your back on them. Stop communicating with them. Stop being curious. And when those voices come, turn your back to them and face God like the angels.
Matt,
face God ad orientem and start talking to God. Shine them on and they'll go away.
Right.
Why does that narrative of demonic voices continue?
Because you're listening.
They got an audience.
Yes.
You're like, what else?
Huh? Remember, they're narcissistic. Demons are narcissistic. They want, pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. I'm sure we know a lot of people like that. You got to look at me. I'm important. And, you need to listen to me. So
this is the way you cut off these demonic voices. Here it is. This is Father Ripperger's training, okay? Ignore them. Ignore them completely. They're like, man, they're ignoring me. But look, it's all about me. I'm a demon. Ignore them and start talking to God. That means you're giving your back to them and you're facing God. You're facing like the angels, face God face to face. They go away. They're like, man, this guy's not paying attention. They hang around when you start going like Eve. Did the serpent really say? They've got you. Jesus 911, stick around. We'll be right back. How to live in a state of grace.
Here.
Ruega por nosotros.
Pray for us, Mother Mary. We love you. Our Lady Guadalupe. Thank you, Mother Mary, for introducing us.
Ora pro nobis, pray
for us. We honor you.
Ruega por nosotros. Jesus 911, Friday's show, Jess Romero, Anita Romero, Tobias and Sarah. This is on Fridays, just so you know, we're giving what's called educational spiritual warfare. This is basic. Every Friday we'll be giving basic teachings of the Catholic Church on how to get to heaven and how to protect yourself from demons, 1 and 2, A and B. It's very simple. This is Catholicism for the common man. The second point, Anita, that we want to make on living in a state of grace and protecting yourself from the diabolical, again, is what we always talk about, is the formation of the moral conscience.
Yep.
The formation of the moral conscience. Every Catholic must form their moral conscience in order to know what's right and what's wrong. And so at the very least, you've got to know the Ten Commandments. And by the way, they're in the Bible in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 17, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6 to 21.
The basic tenets of our faith.
Second thing Catholic must know to know right from wrong is the seven capital sins or the seven deadly sins. That's in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19.
Yeah, we mentioned one sin earlier in the last segment, pride.
Yeah. Sloth, envy, anger, lust, gluttony, avarice, pride. The next thing, we must also know what pleases God. We call those the virtues, the seven virtues. They're in the Bible. They're in the catechism. In the Bible, they're in Wisdom chapter 8, verse 7. In the catechism, they're in 1 Corinthians 13:13, faith, hope, and love. Theological virtues, cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. Okay?
Yep.
It's in the catechism. It's in the Bible. Then we have to know the five the laws. The precepts means the laws of the church. What are the laws of the church? They're in the catechism, paragraph 2042 to 2043. It's essentially, you have to go to Mass every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, you got to go to confession at least once a year. That's what it says in the catechism. It says you got to receive communion in a state of grace, okay, at least once a year. It says that you've got to practice the penances and the fast days of the church, the penance and the fast days. There's a lot less after
those those are very minimal requirements.
There was a lot more in the old calendar in the Latin Mass.
Yes.
They have a lot more. They call them ember days. Mm-hmm. We'll do another program on that. And the fifth thing is that we have to support the church. That's the fifth law of the church. We are obligated to financially support the church, okay? And that doesn't mean a buck in the basket either. I'm not going to tell you how much to put, but that buck in the basket is nonsense. So
yeah, it is. That's 60s, 50s.
Yeah, that's maybe in the
a donation.
Maybe during the Depression that was okay, but not now.
How many of us go to the movies and take our whole family? And
yeah, and that's at $100 night there in the movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Anita, so now that I've mentioned that, what would an important aspect of living in a state of grace, what would it entail as well?
Okay, let's see. What does it entail? An important part of living in a state of grace is examining your conscience each night before you go to bed.
Is that in the Bible?
That's in the Bible. You can find it in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, and 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. This helps form our moral conscience according to the Word of God.
Is that in the Catechism?
And that's in the Catechism, in Catechism 1776 to 1802. Forming our moral conscience gives us moral clarity and the ability to know right from wrong, black and white, good and evil, darkness and light, decent and indecent.
Let me say, mention something. We have politicians who are Catholics that don't have a moral conscience.
They got law degrees
and whatever else degrees.
Yeah.
And they have no moral clarity.
Right, they don't.
And they're baptized Catholics.
Just because you have a college degree, PhD, but if you have learned intellect, but there's no wisdom. When you do not follow the...
They got human knowledge.
Human knowledge. And to believe in nothing, you're going to believe in anything.
And that's what they believe.
They believe everything. Oh, abortion's okay. Two men getting married is okay. My name is Hishi. That's okay.
Because their moral conscience is not properly formed.
Right.
It's malformed.
Right.
And you know what the word
misinformed.
Misinformed, uninformed, deformed. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, malformed, I like that word more. I'll tell you why. The word mal in Latin, malo, it means it's devil.
Yeah.
Their conscience is diabolically formed.
Yep.
So continue. We're talking about what does the Bible say about the mind and all that stuff.
Okay,
wisdom, God's wisdom.
It continues with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 7. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight.
Mm.
In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." That's what we're just talking about.
So don't
rely
on your own college insight, right?
Right.
Your own Marxist education.
Your communist thoughts.
Yeah, that's what we're getting. Let's just be honest.
AKA Democrats. Oh.
Yeah.
Did I say that?
did you say that? No, I don't know. Did you? Anita, and how important is it to know the doctrines of the Catholic faith?
It's everything. Absolutely. It's everything. And Father Ripperger, he says, knowing the doctrines of the church will make you less likely to fall into error and be subject to the demons. So that's why catechesis, reading scripture every day. We should be reading the daily mass readings every day, all of you. You know, if you can't go to mass, that's okay. Do a spiritual communion, but read your daily mass
readings. It's on your iPhone.
We have no excuse. Jess and I have no excuse not to read the daily mass readings if we're unable to make it to mass. Should be a must for everybody. What does that do? That injures demons.
Yeah,
reading
like,
scripture injures demons.
Yeah. In fact, we'll get to that. But there's actually, there's actually a church father that says that. But you're going to have to wait
to see and
to
find
see
out
which one it is.
Which one it is. Maybe you can guess, but
yeah.
Keep on guessing.
Well, we got about 3 more minutes. I don't know how far we'll get into this. Maybe we'll just leave it for the next, because this is a long confession. This is a whole lot to this. So
Well, I think we covered a lot in the first and second, third segment, and this segment. You know, what's our goal as Catholics is to reach eternal life and to protect ourselves from the diabolical.
That's right.
What's living in a state of grace. We're going to repeat that over and over again to you all. Memorize it. And not only just memorize it, don't keep it for yourself. Don't hide your treasure under a bury it. You got to share this to everybody. Everything that you learn that's going to edify you spiritually, share it with your family members. And this is the way you go about it. Hey, you know what I learned today? What do you think about this? And that's how you share. That's how you bring up the conversation with somebody about the faith. You know, and you could, you know, always, you know, when they start talking, you know, having a conversation with you that's just not edifying your soul, then you can turn it around. Not to change the subject, but this is, guess what? I went here and I did it. You know, you could do it. You could do it.
Here's also another important point as Catholics that I want to make. Everything that you study, and you know, if some of you guys went to college and have advanced degrees, that's great. Everything you studied in college, it's going to mean nothing in the next life. The only thing that's going to matter is your Catholic faith. That's all that's going to matter. We're not going to be like, you know, doing equations in heaven like E=MC² and doing laboratory tests with mice and all this stuff.
But we need all that. We need that just to live on planet Earth. And to contribute to society like our scientists. Yeah,
the only point that I'm making is that the study of the Catholic faith, this is why St. Thomas Aquinas calls reading the Bible and theology is the queen of sciences. In other words, the study of your faith reigns supreme over any other subject that you may have a college degree in. Because you won't be studying those subjects in heaven at all. I got a degree in criminal justice, liberal arts, and theology. Okay,
and I got a degree in nursing.
I'm not going to be studying criminal justice in heaven or liberal arts in heaven
or science.
It's going to be the pure word of God that I'll be just. I mean, I'll just be.
Aren't we going to recall everything that we've read?
Yeah, St. Thomas.
And it's not going to be from Times Magazine.
Right.
From
this is Catholic teaching here. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that in heaven, when we have our perfectly glorified body and we have that perfect integrity, body and soul, we're going to have perfect recall of everything we've ever read on planet Earth. Think about that. That's why you want to read the right things. You're going to have perfect recall of everything you read on planet Earth. You know what I did? Because I found out that a long time ago. For 1 year, I was a bailiff in the Superior Court in Van Nuys as a deputy sheriff. What I did when I found that out years ago, I took a dictionary. It was like a Webster's dictionary. And I sat there as a bailiff. You know.
And who shared that with you?
I don't know who it was. But I did learn it from somebody and I verified it. And I said, yeah. And so I read the entire dictionary because I want to have an extensive vocabulary in heaven, so I'm going to read the whole thing again. So maybe I'll have perfect recall of Webster's because I read it. It took me a year as a bailiff. But here's the last thing that I want to mention, Anita. Don't let people scare you, okay? We're supposed to trust in Jesus.
Yeah, trust in Jesus.
That's the message of the Bible. That's the message of the Catholic faith.
Especially what's happening right now. Don't let anything scare you.
No. Don't worry about those that can kill the body.
Yep.
Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, only fear God who can kill the soul.
And remember, it says in the Bible 366 times, be not afraid. That's what St. John Paul II first thing he said when he thunderously there in the papal apartment when he was announced as papas.
When he walked out to the balcony. That's what he thundered.
Said, that's what he thundered.
And remember, ultimately, Anita, I mean, St. Paul's very clear. You know, St. Paul tells us.
He says, St. Paul feared nothing, not even death. In fact, he longed to die and to be with Christ. And that you find that in Philippians 1:21.
What did he say?
He said, quote, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's right.
That's no fear right there.
No. And in Romans 14, he also says, if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's.
Amen.
So, in fact, if you are a Catholic and living in a state of grace and you die, you've won.
Amen.
More than any lottery. So that's why the early Catholic martyrs all saw death as a positive option. That's why they
were
there.
Not a negative, a
that's
positive.
Why we just mentioned St. Joan of Arc. She was there on going to be burned, and she was, what she got? She was probably thunderously, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That is just, I mean, I that's chilly.
Chills. Yeah. Remember, the cross is a positive, not a negative.
Yes, that's awesome. That's
hey, you've been listening to Jesus 911. Jess Romero, Anita Romero, Tobias and Sarah.
Sure. Yes, and we love being with you. The first time live this year. What a privilege it is to be with you, and we'll see you next time.
Same Christ time, same Christ channel. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics.
God bless you.
Coming from the Miss Command Center. Don't stick around. God bless you. Keep the faith.